Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday, here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is potpourri. Each of my guests will discuss an interesting topic, no two of which are related. My first guest provides insight into a growing epidemic in society, high-tech infidelity. The Anthony Weiner incident shows how infidelity industry is growing, websites exclusively for people looking to cheat, Twitter, Facebook, stalking, and more. We'll discuss what she's learned researching her book, The Mistress's Revenge. My second guest is a husband and wife team of futurists. We'll tap into their expertise in technology to look at what technologies will be the most important to us in the future, and we'll determine if social media is here to stay. My third guest believes that the next 10,000 days may be the most important in your life. He's discovered that by age 40, most people turn their attention away from the daily grind to thinking about their legacy. We'll discuss how to make the rest of your life the best of your life from his book, 10,000 Days. And as always, if you want to ask a question or join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. My first guest, Tamar Cohen, is a freelance journalist who lives in London with her partner and three teenage children. The Mistress's Revenge is her very first novel. Joining us from London, hi, Tamar, how are you today?
Hi, I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Well, I am terrific. I love to have thought leaders like you come on the air so that we can discuss the subject matter. Now, your book, The Mistress's Revenge, is a novel. However, you did extensive research behind this in order to come up with not only a realistic plot, but also some very interesting twists and turns along the way. And what I found interesting is that infidelity has now become an industry.
Yeah, it certainly has. It's a big and fast-growing industry in a time of recession. It seems to be, you know, one of the few industries that's really booming. I mean, there's a huge range of services and products available. There's a lot of products available for people who suspect their partners of infidelity. I've just done a feature for the Times here in London, and the amount of different devices that you can get. You can put tracking devices on your partner's car to check where he's been and throughout the day. You can put devices on their phones where you can listen into phone conversations or voice-activated recorders, hidden cameras, any number of ways that you can spend money to try and find out if your partner's been cheating.
Well, it's interesting to be on a couple of different levels, Tamar. First of all, this is an industry, it's commerce that's built on the misery of others, which is interesting. But I guess my bigger question is, why has it taken so long for infidelity to become commercialized? I mean, infidelity's been around since the beginning of time.
Well, it has, but only recently have we been using technology so much, as so much a part of the affairs that people are having is based on technology. And so it kind of makes sense that so much of the detection of affairs should be also based on technology. It's just technology keeping up with technology.
Okay, that is interesting. Now, Tamar, I found it also very interesting that according to divorce lawyers, Facebook is responsible for 1 in 5 marriage breakups.
That's right. I've heard that as well.
I mean, well, first of all, I'd argue that probably Facebook isn't responsible for it. It's just an enabler. But text messages, emails, they facilitate the mechanics of the affairs. And we just have to ask Anthony Weiner here in the United States about that. But because technology is making cheating easier, it's more instantaneous, it's more accessible, does it push people who are otherwise right on the fringe, on the margin, does it push them into cheating, into infidelity, whereas before when
I
it was more mechanical?
It does, because I think what it does is it blurs the lines for a lot of people. So supposing you take Facebook for an example, so you look up an old flame on Facebook, it's very exciting, you contact them, well, you wouldn't have been able to do that, you know, 20 years ago, but suddenly you can get in touch with people from your past. And it begins very innocently. It's, oh, great, an old friend. And then it's very, very easy for those lines to become blurred now. And I think that's what the technology is doing. It's blurring the lines.
Wow, now that's interesting. So you brought up 20 years ago. How were things different 20 years ago when it comes to infidelity, when we weren't in the Internet age?
I mean, imagine 20 years ago you wanted to have an affair. You have to, you know, do the old walking the dog trick and go and dive into a phone box and make a quick hurried phone call. You wouldn't be able to phone somebody on their private phone. You'd have to phone somebody on a landline or an office phone, so you wouldn't be able to, you wouldn't know whether they'd be on their own. You wouldn't be able to send an email, or so really it would just be a case of snatched phone calls from phone boxes and you know, half an hour in a hotel room. So it's a very different thing to what we're seeing at the moment, which is, you know, 24/7 contact between affair partners.
The Always On Society. My guest is Tamar Cohen. She's the author of the book, The Mistress's Revenge. We're talking about infidelity. And you say, somewhere along the line, you say that there is no neutral stance on infidelity.
Mm.
How so?
Well, if you talk to anybody, most people don't say, well, I'm kind of ambivalent about infidelity, whether I agree with it. You know, people generally, because their lives, most people's lives have been touched either directly or indirectly by infidelity, they tend to have a very, very strong stance on it one way or the other. You know, some people might say, well, I don't agree with human beings aren't meant to be monogamous, and therefore, you know, you should take your happiness where you find it, and other people will obviously say exactly the opposite.
Well, Tamar, it shouldn't come as any surprise, though, to people that human beings have infidelities. I mean, it's been a part of our nature since the beginning of time, so
exactly.
Why should it shock anyone?
It should, and yet our society, as a culture, we still make stigmatize it and make it a taboo and try and make it into something that is... that is very much frowned upon. I mean, I'm not saying it shouldn't be frowned upon, but by making out that it's not the norm, whereas it actually is becoming the norm, if it isn't already, then you're kind of giving it a power that maybe it shouldn't have.
Well, and what I liked about your book, Tamar, is that you played on that. You talk about the stigmatization in your last answer there, but surreptitiously, there's a trend emerging here, and that is the trend of men marrying their mistresses. And it started, well, I shouldn't say it started, but certainly the most highly visible instance of that is your own Prince Charles marrying Camilla Parker Bowles, you know, his longtime mistress, allegedly the woman who broke up his marriage with Princess Diana. Mm. But there have been other people, too. There's been Donald Trump married his mistress, Humphrey Bogart married Lauren Bacall, Ethan Hawke, Steve McQueen. I mean, the list goes on and on.
And most recently, Kelsey Grammer, he married his mistress as well.
I did not know that. So, see, you're on top of this. You really are an expert in this area, Tamar. But what are some of the advantages and what are some of the pitfalls when you marry your mistress?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't say it was a trend. I mean, I think it's still very unusual for men to marry their mistresses. Mostly it doesn't happen. I don't know whether there's any statistics, but I would imagine it's quite small. But the pitfalls have to be really obvious. If you marry the woman who broke up your marriage, you're going to be taking forward a lot of baggage from your first marriage. You know, if there were children involved, or, you know, the first wife is not really going to look very kindly on her successor if the marriage broke up for that reason. So there's a whole load of baggage you're taking with you into your new relationship. And I think also that people who have been kind of caught up in the excitement and the thrill of an illicit affair when it's no longer illicit, and they're back to putting out the rubbish together and arguing about unloading the dishwasher. You might start thinking, well, why did I do that? What was all that about?
All right. Well, my guest is Tamar Cohen, and that brings us to some of the more interesting aspects of infidelity, the psychological factors behind it. In what ways is infidelity with a mistress over a period of time different and even potentially more damaging than a one-night stand with a prostitute, somebody like Elliot Spitzer or Hugh Grant, mm-hmm. or a coworker or an acquaintance?
Well, it's an emotional investment, isn't it? If it's a long-term affair, you're investing a lot of the emotion that probably you would have been investing in your primary relationship in someone else. So I think it's a very different thing, a long-term relationship, a long-term affair, to a one-night stand.
Now, your book, The Mistress's Revenge, I mean, the title says it all. It talks about revenge. What are some of the psychological factors behind wanting to revenge infidelity?
Well, I mean, revenge is one of the oldest, most kind of primeval urges, isn't it? You want to get even on somebody who's hurt you. It's a very, very obvious thing, and it's a very hard thing to rationalise. You know, most people would say, in the cold light of day, you know, nobody wins with revenge. You're not going to. The best revenge is to live life well. And all the rest of it, but when you're caught up in that with that impulse and that urge, it's very, very difficult to say no to it.
Without a doubt. My guest is Tamar Cohen. Tamar, I'm going to take the other side of this argument for just a second and ask you to comment on it, because monogamy and therefore fidelity, it's a relatively new construct in human society, and it sort of coincides with the rise of land and power, property and money and so forth. Men wanted to be certain that they passed along their possessions to legitimate offspring. So a bargain was struck between men and women that men would protect the women and pass along their possessions to the offspring in return for the woman's fidelity. However, humans are really one of the very few select species that mate for life. So with infidelity on the rise, should we rethink the institution of marriage? And rather than marriage for life, should it be a contract that gets renewed every 5-10 years, something like that?
I would say yes, to be honest, because I think it is. So we are still insisting that it's an abnormal thing. You know, infidelity, as a culture, we come down on it very heavily, and you know, we insist that we hold up monogamy to be this kind of shining light. Whereas actually, if we're more realistic about it, and if we face up to the figures, which are something like six in ten married men will have affairs, you know, those are huge figures. It is the norm, unfortunately, and maybe we would kind of divest it of a bit of its power if we stopped pretending that it's not.
And what would some of the implications be? Because all of a sudden a new industry would arise. Let's say the marriage contract had to renew every 10 years.
Yeah.
At the end of that period, there's going to be a certain number of people who are going to split. And now you've got the whole almost divorce-like situation of splitting the property, coming up with amicable solutions about children, if there were children involved in it, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. Wouldn't that lead to actually more deterioration of society simply because of all of this tumultuous change that goes on?
I mean, first of all, you've got to face the fact that divorce does happen, and most divorces do happen within those first 10 years. So I don't think you'd probably be causing any more split-ups than there are already. But, I mean, maybe it would be a good thing. It would be like getting an MOT every 10 years. You'd have a look at the state of your marriage, and you'd see whether there's things that you could work on and fix, and it might actually be a positive thing.
That very, very well could be. My guest is Tamar Cohen. Her book is The Mistress's Revenge. Now, Tamar, you write something that amused me and struck me as very interesting. You write, "Never have an affair with someone who has less to lose than you do." Explain what you mean by that.
Well, I mean, it's a quite a cynical way of looking at it. If you have an affair with somebody who maybe hasn't got the same kind of professional standing, the same kind of things to lose in their personal life, who hasn't, then you're really at their mercy. The thing about an affair, is an illicit affair, is it's really a contract between two people that are saying that they will both keep this secret. And if one of them doesn't, if one of them reneges on that, then the affair comes out in the open, and it can have devastating consequences. So really, you've both got to have as much as at stake in order to keep that secrecy going.
Without a doubt. What do you think is the public's fascination with sex scandals, mistresses, betrayal? I mean, is it a morbid curiosity, like driving by a horrific automobile accident? Is it a cautionary tale? I mean,
it's exactly like driving by an accident. It's a there but for the grace of God kind of thing. I think most people would recognize something of themselves or something of them, even if they've never acted on their impulses. You know, most people would have thought at some point in their lives, oh, I wonder what would happen if I actually acted on my attraction to that person or that person. And I think, I think most people love to read about other people's misfortunes because it reminds them that they haven't done so badly themselves.
My guest is Tamar Cohen, author of the book, The Mistress's Revenge. Tamar, tell me about your book. What do you want people to take away from reading your book, The Mistress's Revenge?
It's not a cautionary tale. It sounds like it. It basically, in the book, everybody comes out of it having suffered. You know, there's nobody that comes out of it well. And I think that's probably true as a general rule for all affairs, that everybody involved suffers in the end in some way or another.
And that is certainly something that we want to take to heart. If people are interested, Tamar, in what you've got to say, they want to learn about you, they want to learn about your book, The Mistress's Revenge, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Yeah, at the moment, the best place, my website's being restructured, but the best place to go is on Facebook. If you put in Mistress's Revenge on Facebook, there's a Facebook page there. I'm also on Twitter at Ms. Tamar Cohen.
You're going to have to spell that, please, Tamar.
Yes, it's Ms. M-S and then Tamar, T-A-M-A-R, C-O-H-E-N.
Tamar Cohen. All right, that is great. Tamar, thank you so much for being my special guest and taking a chunk out of your evening to be with us on the radio today.
Welcome.
Take care. We'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you.